Unit 5. Listening 2. CAE Part 1. Multiple choice. Extract 1.
Miriam, the curtain goes up on your new play next week. Are you at all anxious, or is opening night an occasion which no longer bothers you?
Well, it depends on the production, but in this case, I've been privileged again to have Malcolm Rush as a director. He doesn't care whether you're exhausted, mentally, physically, emotionally, it's immaterial. He'll just continue pushing until every scene is simply perfect. You don't just learn the part, you live it, which takes away any fears you might have of not being able to persuade an audience you're real.
Malcolm does have a reputation of being quite the dictator. No one dares voice their opinion, I hear.
Well, I do. Malcolm is entirely willing to listen to your point of view once you gain his respect. When we're working on a play, it's a two-way process in which one person comes up with an idea, we see how it works out, and then we don't hold back on any constructive criticism. If you're relatively new to the stage, he's going to be tough with you. But once you've proved yourself, it's all about cooperation and being open to changes.
Extract 2.
I have to say, Stephen, I was expecting more from this director. The whole thing seemed terribly formulaic to me. We have two mismatched cops, one of whom plays by the rules and the other is a rebel. Isn't this the kind of scenario we've seen too many times already?
The tense relationship between the detectives is definitely a cliché, I admit, but I think the quality of the acting makes this work far superior to others in the genre. And the plot, which is actually quite sophisticated, keeps you guessing all the way through. It's not just relying on stunts and explosions to fill up time.
Well, the female characters, the wife and the girlfriend, have more to say than usual. They do seem to be there for valid reasons, rather than decoration.
And, unusually for a commercial film, the two heroes, or anti-heroes if you like, do not suddenly develop great affection for one another. There's a level of respect, a recognition that the other man is a professional, someone you can depend upon to do the job and who will never be corrupted. But when it's all finally over, they want nothing more to do with one another. They just both find one another offensive in some way.
Extract 3.
So, David, with the next rally less than 12 hours away, how confident are you of holding your position in front?
Well, the team has done an incredible job sorting out all the problems with the car. It's running at peak performance now. The big issue, as you may know, is that my co-driver, Scott King, broke his leg last week, and so that's it. He's out for the foreseeable future. Fortunately for us, Eddie Houseman stepped in at the last minute, though of course he's never partnered me before, which is a bit of a concern. At least the conditions are favourable. The worst of the ice is cleared, just a few patches left we can deal with.
Scott's been with you from the start, hasn't he?
Yes. People often underrate the co-driver's role. The glory always goes to the driver. But it's Scott who has the map and the notes. Without him, I'd be truly driving blind. You have to have complete faith that what he says is right. I have to know exactly how fast I can take a corner and be sure that we don't end up rolling into a ditch. That's not to say that he's always to blame for every crash. And I don't know how Eddie's going to deal with my temper. Scott's got used to it after all this time.